שלום, אנחנו לומדים מהספר זוהר.
Hello, we're reading from the book of Zohar, Genesis 1, part 2, item 191. You're welcome to find all the study material on our website. You're welcome to also ask questions. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
אנחנו מתקדמים לגילוי הבורא לנברא.
We're advancing to the revelation of the creator to the creature in this world through two main means. Our efforts from below, as much as we can connect between us, and therefore we need to unite to a group here to connect between us in all kinds of means that Rabash defines to us, and also Bala Sulam in his letters, and he explains it to us in Matan Torah and Darvut in those articles. As we need physically and also in our inclination as much as possible to show ourselves as trying to get closer to connection, and that in this connection we want to be united, to be as one man with one heart, just like the soul was prior to its shattering and distancing and dividing into many 600,000 parts and parts of parts. That's how we want, even physically, to try to get closer, physically meaning in our desires, our thoughts, our intentions, and also in our actions. As we want to show that we are willing to be as one man in one heart, to connect, to all be, to Israel, all of Israel be as one heart, one man, and everything, all the conditions that we would receive in, that we had in the receiving of the Torah. Because we couldn't receive the Torah if we weren't drawn towards connection, towards Arvut. And then under that condition that we observe, that condition of Arvut, that connection between us, we try to do it. Of course we can't, but to the extent that we try, the reforming light will affect us from above, and it does correct our efforts and unites between us. And then in that connection between us, we discover the force that connects, the force that's revealed between us, called the Bore, the Creator. Bo'ure, come and see. That's the way we attain Him. Because our state has to be as practical as possible, out of our life in this world. Therefore, we need to try to depict everything that happens to us as coming from there's no one else besides Him. All the situations, all the thoughts, all the desires, meaning in desire, thought, and action, everything comes from the Creator alone, and He stabilizes all these things for me, both the good and the bad. If the general folk think, we're not talking about secular people who don't have that thought, but if the religious people think that good things come from the Creator and bad things come from them, from a person themselves, and a person needs to be sorry that he's doing bad things, we are in a different degree. We say, no, there's none else besides Him. The Creator did, does, and will do all the things that are happening in the world. There's nothing a person can carry out on his own, both in thought, desire, and action. Rather, everything is done by the Lord, and Thou hast hemmed me from before and from ahead, from before. And we need to make all those efforts, meaning both through the seemingly bad things and through the good things. Doesn't matter what forms they are they're in. That's how the Creator carries out His actions, so that we will reveal Him. We will unify those actions to Him. Doesn't matter in what quality they're in or how they appear to us. That's why to reveal there's none else besides Him, that and the good that does good upon everything that happens to us is our goal, and that's what we need to get close to. Hence, when we study the book of Zohar, especially that which we want to feel, how much that upper force operates at us, stabilizes us in all our thoughts, desires, and actions, in everything that happens in the external and my internal world. It's all only the Creator, except for that point from which I examine myself. Do I think this way? That it is all just the clothing of the Creator in all of reality, which eventually needs to be revealed to me, because it's only me. And just like we learned in the perception of reality, that there is no world, there is nothing, but rather just my desire, and if I unite it correctly in it, I discover only the upper force which I'm in adhesion with. So let's try to be drawn to that state, and accordingly the reforming light will influence us, bestow upon us, and we will find that correct state. Please.
Item 191. In the morning prayer, the lion comes down to receive the prayer in his arms and in his wings. There are four wings to each animal. And this is Angel Michael. In the afternoon prayer, the ox comes down to receive the prayer with his horns and with his wings. And this is Angel Gabriel. A prayer is the Nukva. Through our prayer, we bring her near for a zivug with her husband, Zeranpin. And three prayers correspond to her three lines. The morning prayer is the right line, Chesed. The afternoon prayer is the left line, Gvura. And the evening prayer is the middle line, Tiferet. Abraham established the morning prayer, Chesed. Isaac, the afternoon prayer, Gvura. And Jacob, the evening prayer, Tiferet. The Nukva does not rise to the Zivug by herself. Rather, there are four animals that carry the throne, the Nukva, to the Zivug with Zeranpin, a lion, an ox, an eagle, and a man. This is above Chazeh Dezon. Below Chazeh Dezon, they are Shinan. In the three prayers of the weekdays, the lower animals, Shinan, carry the Nukva for the Zivuk. On the Shabbat, the upper animals, from Chazeh and above, carry her to the Zivuk. And those three lower animals, lion, ox, and eagle, are called Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, and Nuriel. In the morning prayer, the lion comes down to receive the prayer. This is Angel Michael. It is so because in the morning prayer is the zivug of the right, Chesed. This is why the lion comes down to receive the prayer and raise it for a zivug, because lion is Chesed and the angel Michael. In the afternoon prayer, the ox comes down to receive the prayer. This is Angel Gabriel, since in the afternoon prayer is the Zivug on the left line, Gvura. This is why the ox comes down to receive the prayer and raise it for a Zivug, since the ox is Gvura and Angel Gabriel. In the evening prayer, The zivug on the middle line, Tiferet, only from the gvura of the middle line, called Nuriel, and the eagle comes down to receive the prayer and raise it for a zivug, which is the middle line, Tiferet. But in Nuriel, in the eagle, not in Uriel, in the eagle, since at night is the time of dinim in the eagle, while the gvurot come from Bchina Gimel, the Nukva, which is a prayer for the poor, when she is in a domain without her husband. These gvurot do not mitigate, so she is fit for a zivug unless with the gvurot above, which come from the point of Chirik in Bina, the left side of Tiferet, the Masach de Chirik, on which the level of Chasadim comes out, deciding between the two lines, right and left. Angel Uriel is extended from the level of Chasadim in it, and the angel Nuriel is extended from the force of the Din in the Masach. Therefore, the evening prayer is not mitigated to become fit for a zivug unless by the angel Nuriel, because his gvurot have already been mitigated in Bina, in Midat HaRachamim. It is written about him as an eagle that stirs up his nest. 192. On Shabbat, the Creator comes down in three patriarchs, Chagat, from the Chazed Dezon and above, to receive with them the only daughter, the prayer, the Nukva. On the Shabbat day, the upper animals, Chagat, above the Chazeh, carried the Nukva for Zivug. Thus, the Creator, Zeranpin, receives the only daughter with three fathers, Chagat, the upper animals. This is the secret of the Shabbat, who is an ingram, Shin Bet Tav. The three lines in the letter Shin implies the three patriarchs, Chagat, since the Creator accepts the prayer, the Shabbat, his only daughter, in three patriarchs, meaning in the three upper animals from Chazeh and above, who are called upper Merkava. At that time, the upper animals, called Havaya, start and say, "Lift up your heads, O gates, that the King of Glory may come." Bchina Gimel of the Nukva is called the King's Gate. She receives her full completeness on the Shabbat day. As we learn, Sun on the Shabbat, charity for the poor. This is the meaning of the animals carrying the throne for a zivug, saying at that time, "Lift up your heads, O gates," that they are perfected with the perfection of Bchina Gimel, called a gate, and the illumination extending from her, called gates. 193. At that time, seven palaces open. 1. Love. 2. Fear. 3. Mercy. 4. Prophecy in terms of the illuminating mirror. 5. Prophecy in the terms of the mirror that does not illuminate. 6. Tzedek, justice. 7. Din, judgment. They correspond to the 7 Sfirot Chagat Nehim. Love opposite Chesed. Fear opposite Gvura. Rachamim opposite Tiferet. The illuminating mirror opposite Netzach. The mirror that does not illuminate opposite Hod. Tzedek opposite Yesod. And Din opposite Malchut. There are 7 Sfirot Chagat Nehim in Nukva de Zeranpin, which contain all, and each of them contains Chagat Nehim. The Sfira Malchut. In each is a palace, which is why Nukva has 7 palaces. Only the first 2 Bchinot of Malchut are a palace, but her Bchina Gimel is the palace gate. Therefore, on weekdays, when there is no correction at all to Malchut's Bchina Gimel, all 7 palaces have closed and hidden gates. Only on the Shabbat, the Sabbath day, when the correction reaches Bchina Gimel 2, all the gates are corrected and the palace is opened.
194.
It is said about them that Bereshit, in the beginning, had the letters of Bara created, Shit, six palaces. Elohim is the seventh palace because the whole correction of the Sabbath is due to the essence of Nukva to Bina, ascent of Nukva to Bina, when she receives her lights. For the correction of the seven palaces of the Nukva, Bina was also set up with the seven palaces, implied in the verse Bereshit Bara Elohim, in the beginning God created. For on the Shabbat day, they illuminated to the seven palaces of the Nukva. There are seven palaces from Chazeh downwards and seven palaces from Chazeh and above. Those seven palaces of Binah, implied in the verse, in the beginning God created, were established in her in doubles, seven palaces above the Chazeh and seven palaces below the Chazeh. It is likewise in each partzuf. Those seven doubled palaces are discerned in the general five partzufim of Atzilut, in Arich Anpin, who include them. There are seven palaces above Chazeh der Arich Anpin, in Abba Ve'ima, who clothe him there. And there are also seven palaces from Chazeh de Abba Ve'ima and below, in Zon, who clothe him there. All that applies to the general applies also in every detail. This is why there are seven doubled palaces in each partzuf, seven from Chazeh and above, and seven from Chazeh and below. Opposite them are seven voices in the psalm. Give to the Lord or Son, O sons of God. And the 18 mentions, the 18 names of Ayah that are in it, in which the Creator roams in the 18 worlds, as it is written, the vehicles of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands, which are 180,000 worlds. Opposite the seven palaces below and the seven palaces above in Binah, who are upper Abba Ve'ima, as it is written, in the beginning God created. There are their opposites in Zon, too, implied by the seven voices and the 18 mentions in the palm. Give to the Lord or sons of gods. Seven voices imply the seven palaces from Chazed Zon and above. And the 18 mentions implied the seven palaces from Chazed Zon and below. The Sfirot from Chazed and above, Chagat, are primarily the middle line, Tiferet. The Sfirot from Chazed and below, Nehi, are primarily the middle line, Yesod. This is why the seven palaces from Chazen above are considered to be in Tiferet, and the seven palaces from Chazen below in Yesod, called the One Who Lives, 18 in Gematria, forever. The seven voices in the palm, give to the Lord, implies the seven palaces above, in Tiferet, since Tiferet is called a voice, and the number 18 mentions indicates Yesod, called the One Who Lives Forever. This is why it says that 18 mentions imply the seven palaces below, in Yesod, called lives. This is why it was said that the 18 mentions are 18 names of Havaya that are in it, in which the Creator roams in 18 worlds. In the seven palaces below, the Chazeh, the Anpin, gives through his Yesod, called 18 worlds, since the seven palaces below stand in Yesod de Zon. As it is written, the vehicles of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands, which are 180,000 worlds. Since all the Bchinot from Chazed down are a Merkava to the Bchinot from Chazed above, This is why the seven palaces are called the vehicles of God, as they are a Merkava to Bina, Elokim, in the seven palaces above. Yud K. Myriads, thousands upon thousands, imply 18,000, since myriads are 20,000. Thousands are 2,000. Upon thousands, meaning means that they are gone. In Hebrew, the words have almost the same letters, indicating 20,000 minus 2,000 that are gone, thus 18,000. Hence, the vehicles of God is seven palaces below the Chazeh, 18,000. As this number implies Yesod, the one who lives forever. And they are 180,000 worlds. There are several guards of the gates by the palaces who receive the prayer. Each prayer enters only by measure and weight. A measure is vak, light of chasadim in completeness. Weight is gar, since they are drawn by the shekel of the sanctuary, and the prayer is accepted only by the extending mochin in vak and in gar. If the measure and weight are not complete, the prayer is not accepted. 195. There is no one to stand before the gate of the prayer to prevent it from being accepted. It is written about it, they shall not be put to shame, for they speak with their enemies at the gate. At the gate is the king's gate, the gate of the palace, since the grip of the klipot is primarily at the gate. This is why, if he extends the mochen in measure and weight, it is written about him, a thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right. It will not approach you. This is, all the klipot and the slanderers flee and depart from the gates of prayer, and then the prayer is accepted. A righteous who extends mochin is regarded as struggling with the klipot and chasing them away from the king's gate. This is why the text implies, in regards to him, they shall not be put to shame, for they speak with their enemies at the gate, since the prayer is a mitzvah, and it is divinity, nukva dezeranpin. The Torah is the creator, Zeranpin, and there must not be a stop between them, for they need to chase away the klipot that separates the creator from his divinity, as it is written. The separation, the champion. This is done by extending mochin in measure and in weight. The Torah and the mitzvot should be elevated through fear and love, because all the positive and negative mitzvot, commandments, to act or avoid, depend on the name of Havaya, as it is explained in the number of letters Shin Mem Yud, which is 350, along with the number of letters Yud Hey, which is 15, add up to 365, which are the 665 mitzvot, negative mitzvot, and the number Zayin Chaf Resh Yud, which is 237, with the number Vav Kei, which is 11, add up to 248, which are the 248 positive mitzvot. Thus, there are 365 and 248 in the name Havaya, 365 in Yud Hey, and 248 in Vav Kei. Therefore, all 613 mitzvot depend on the name Havaya. It is so because upper Abba Ve'ima, Yisod de Havaya, Gar de Bina, our fear, Yisut, Hey de Havaya, Zad de Bina, our love. Therefore, when the Mochin de Zon come only from Yisut, Hey de Havaya, it is considered that love preceded fear. And when they also come from upper Abba Ve'ima, Yud de Havaya, it is considered that the fear preceded love. Since Yud is fear and He is love, thus fear precedes love. Zeranpin, the Torah, and Nukva, the Mitzvah, must be raised with fear and love to Upper Abba Ve'ima, with fear preceding love. For then the positive and negative mitzvot are included in the name of Havaya. As it is written, this is my name forever, and this is my remembrance for all generations. My name, with Yud-Kei, is 365 negative mitzvot, and my remembrance, with Vav-Kei, is 248 positive mitzvot. Thus, 365 negative mitzvot, fear, are implied in Gar, Yud-Kei, and the 248 positive mitzvot, love, are implied in Vav-Kei. But if they do not raise Zon up to Abba Ve'ima, but only up to Yisut, whose love, then the 365 negative mitzvot are still not included in Zon, because they are above, in Upper Abba Ve'ima, who includes only 248 positive mitzvot. When the 365 and 248 rose to Abba Ve'ima, they have all 613 to 635 upper Abba Ve'ima and 248 from Yisut.
It's clear what he's saying. Yes, we learned this in all our studies, that there's the Galgal Te'enayim and Achap, the Partsuf that we need to correct, the vessels of reception and the vessels of bestowal, those that are the 365 above the Chazeh, the Ramach, the 248 below the Chazeh, and therefore all our existence is in placing in greatness, in Gadlut, the whole Partsuf of Zon or of the soul, in all 613 corrections. That's it. Yes, questions? There are none?
No.
Okay, well?
There's a question from Oleg, from Rovno. He says, Rav, can you speak of the hidden force of the Zohar? How can it help us and help all of humanity raise above our nature?
How? I don't know. I know the results. But how? We can never say. It operates. It's called, from your actions, we know you. I don't know. I only know that I'm a result of the Creator. I'm the consequence of the Creator. And I see upon me all kinds of changes, and those changes are from Him, from His bestowal. Prior to His bestowal, I can't identify a thing. By Him bestowing, I also can't do a thing. As a result of His bestowal, I can say that something happened to me, if it happened. There are many changes that I don't identify that are happening in me. So therefore, how does it work? We don't know. That's the reforming light. And we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah how it works, how it operates. But in truth, this mechanism, for the time being, is concealed from us. The light created the kli, the desire. It holds the desire. It influences it. And accordingly, the desire changes. So what we need to do is to help with all our means. We have to help the light influence the desire more. Or, on the contrary, meaning it depends. Through the study, we do this. And on the flip side, is that we have to try from below such that the desire will be closer, more sensitive, to be more influenced by the light. We have work from above and work from below, seemingly. That's it. But how it works, how the light bestows, influences the desire, I hope that in Gemar Tikkun, our kli will be the light itself. Then from the kilim, we will be able to understand that internal action, how the desire, how the light created the desire existence from absence, how it operates on that point it created, which is misunderstood. There's some cut between the light that doesn't bestow and the kli that he creates in the nature to receive. So on this hand it bestows, and on this side it's to receive. How he did that? Existence from absence. Therefore I can't answer the question. Maybe he's asking something simpler, but that's how I understood it, and that's how it is. Also in Psalms there are such sentences, that verses that say that it's unknown. It's unknown to us. Those internal actions are unknown to us.
Yes. Joseph from Jerusalem. It seems that the language of the Zohar is the three lines. What do we learn from this?
What do we learn in the three lines? If we identify with the three lines, we're already in identification with the action of the light. How it influences the right line and the left line in good and bad and darkness and light, to raise us, lower us, how we complement and complete all those actions that go with us until we rise from not important to me if it's bad or good in my feeling, but the main thing for me is to be adhered, and to be adhered is in the middle line already. That's how we do it. Well, let's continue.
Amud 137, Piska 196.
196. There are 248 words in the Shema reading. They were given from love and from fear in the letter Hey de Havayah. In the Shema reading, we extend only Mochin Devak, which are only from Yersut. Hey de Havayah, in which love precedes fear. Therefore, there are only 248 words. They're opposite the 248 positive mitzvot, which is love. The 365 negative mitzvot do not illuminate in them because they are in the letter Yod. For this reason, they set up to first bless the Shema reading, who chooses his people Israel with love, indicating that we extend only the love in the Shema reading, which is 248 mitzvot, positive mitzvot. Also, those 248 positive mitzvot are included in Abraham, because Abraham is 248 in Gematria, love, and it is written about him, the seed of Abraham who loves me. 197. Tfilin are called Oz, strength, since they were given from fear to the left, and this is the name, the fear of Isaac. This is so because all the slanderers come up there to demand all the dinim in the worlds. This is why the verse, and by the arm of his strength, applies to the tefillin, since yudke are fear and vavke are love. And that is written, love the Lord, all his followers, which means extension of mochin devak vavke. The Shema reading is love, and 248 positive mitzvot in the letters Vavke. Likewise, Abraham is 248 in Vavke, but Tfilin is Mochin Degar, which is 365 negative mitzvot in Yodke. The fear in Yodke, which is the left line, the fear of Isaac. And to all the slanders and the dinim in the world, have a grip only in the left line. It follows that Abraham is Vavke and Isaac is Yodke. But if Eret Havayah includes everything, which is the middle line, including the two lines, Abraham, which is Vavke, and Isaac, which is Yodke. This is why it is written about Jacob, and behold, the Lord stood over him. And it is not written so in Abraham and in Isaac, because Jacob is Tiferet, who includes everything, as he is the middle pillar. And when he is called Jacob, he includes the quality of Abraham Vavkei and the 248 positive mitzvot. Afterwards, when he is called Israel, indicating that he rose and clothed the Yudke too, and includes the entire name Havaya, Gal and Vak, then the name Havaya is regarded as being filled with Alephs. For were it not filled with Alephs, Israel would not be able to clothe the Yudke. The Zohar says in several places that the right line extends from the point of Cholam, from Mi of Elohim, which is Gal, and the left line extends from the point of Shuruk, from the letters Ele of Elohim, which is Vak. But here it says that the right line, Abraham, is Vak, Vav Ke of Havaya, and the left line, Isaac, is Gal, Yod Ke of Havaya. It's so because there is a big difference between the Mochin being in their place and their extension through the engagement in mitzvot. For here it relates to the engagement in the 613 mitzvot to extend complete mochin de zon, to zon, gar and vak. Through engagement in 248 positive mitzvot, the love of chesed is extended from the right line, the quality of Abraham, which has merit since no dinim grip them. This is why we can extend them even before we are completed with the 365 negative mitzvot. In relation to the presence of these mochin de chasadim in Bina, although the chasadim are in Gal de Bina, when they are extended down to the souls of the righteous, whose wholeness depends entirely on the illumination of Chochmah, these mochin de chasadim are still considered for them as only Vak, Vavke of Havaya without Arosh, for the Yodke de Havaya is missing in them. However, through engagement in great care in the 365 negative mitzvot, we extend illumination of Chochmah from the left line, the fear of Isaac, which extends from the point of Shuruk that is drawn to Gal, to Yodke of Havaya, and these mochin are tefillin, called oz, strength, and it is written on them, a tower of strength in the name of the Lord. As well as, and all the people of the earth shall see that the name of the Lord is called upon you, and they will fear you. Thus now the mochin have been completed for the souls in illumination of Chochmah, Gal. For this reason, the souls could not receive these mochin as long as they are on the right and on the left, because the lower ones receive only from the middle line, Tiferet, Jacob. When he has only Mochin Devak, he is Israel when he obtains the Gal as well. And then the Mochin extends from him to the souls of the righteous. It is written only about Jacob, and behold, the Lord stood over him, and not over Abraham or Isaac. The meaning of the name Havaya filled with Alephs is that Israel came up in the thought to be created, where thought has the letters Het Shin, Bet Mem He, adding up to 45, Havaya filled with Alephs. And the holy name is it, Bina, is called Thought. And it was said about it that Israel, Ziranpin and Mochin de Gadlut, came up in the thought, Bina, to be created to receive his Mochin. And Bina is called Thought, as she is the letters Chashav, Thought, Mem Hei, implying the count Havaya filled with Alephs, which is 45 in Gematria. The filling of Alephs implies the corrections that were corrected for Zon in Tzimtzum Bet, by which Zer Anpin could rise to Bina to receive her Mochin. Without them, he would not be able to rise up there. This is why Bina received the name Thought. Because of Jacob, Israel in Gadlut, it is written, and God created the man in his own image. Since once Zer Anpin received the Mochin de Gadlut in the name Israel, called Tselem, It was said about him, and he created. For being the middle line, the mochin to the souls of the lower ones flow from him because they cannot receive from the edges, right and left, Abraham and Isaac. 198. Sons, life, and nourishments are drawn to the lower ones only from the middle pillar, called my son, my firstborn Israel. He's also called the tree of life. And in Daniel, he is called a tree in which there is food for all. For divinity, which is only in the lower ones, Israel and below are considered her life, divinities. And the Torah is considered her nourishments. The prayer, regarded as the offering that brings divinity to a zivug with Zeranpin, it is said about her in exile that she says to Zeranpin, her husband, "Give me sons." The Zohar explains the matter of sons, life, and nourishments. The middle pillar, Israel, bestows upon divinity for the low ones. The bestowal of life to divinity are the lower children of Israel who draw their lives from divinity, and giving of the secrets of Torah to the lower ones is considered the nourishments of divinity. The prayer, which is her zivug with Zeranpin, extends sons, who are souls for the lower ones. It is written about her, and she said to Jacob, "Give me sons." 199. Divinity is an offering of the Creator when he receives for her on the right, on the left, and in the body. His unification with her is through the righteous Yesod, called a token, and it is the token of Tefillin, the token of Sabbath, and a good day. The two zivugim of Zeranpin with divinity are for sons, life, and nourishments. One, to impart life and nourishments through right, left, and body, which is through the three lines Chagat. Two, for begetting sons, the souls of the lower ones, which is only in his unification with her through righteous Yesod, called Token. The first zivug indicates that Zeranpin is lacking new Nehi de Gadlut, for which it is considered a zivug from Chagat. At that time, he can give to the souls only life and nourishments. The second zivug is when he attains new Nehi de Gadlut. At that time, the zivug is through Nehi, which is primarily Yesod, and he is fit to begetting sons, meaning bestowing of souls. When the prayer divinity rises to Zeranpin, she must be included with him in all 10 Sfirot, since there is no Kedusha in less than 10, which is his Kedusha, his blessing, and his unification. This is so because there are three Zivugim to the Nukva with Zeranpin. One, Zivug Nehi, which is called unification. Two, Zivug Chagat, which is called blessing. And three, Zivug Chabad, which is called Kedusha. When she unites with him in these three Zivugim, she receives from all 10 Sfirot Chabad Chagat Nehi de Zeranpin. And this is why we pray to the Creator in several degrees and several Sfirot, for we need to unite divinity in three kinds of Zivugim. So she receives from each of the 10 Sfirot de Zeranpin. When a person wishes to raise up the prayer, he must raise her in order to unite her in three Zivugim, in all the movements, in Ta'amim and in Nekudot. Since the letters, the otiot, are horses, and the nekudot are horsemen riding them, and the tamim are the arms of war, if the serpent wishes to slander the prayer, we must throw the sling stone against him. The meaning of the tamim, the zarka, makaf, shofar, going Segolta, as is said below in the words of Rabbi Shimon.
This is already the next subject. Questions?
Zohar is asking from Chicago, if we're supposed to unite everything to there's none else besides him, why is it in the gods, how does it write about this relationship between the Zohar and the... He writes here, who's like you in the gods?
What is he asking? The Creator has a group of forces, a band of forces from all different kinds, in order to bestow to all different kinds of desires in a person. It includes all of humanity, all of still vegetative animate. That is why we speak of different forces, foreign, opposite, which are active in this way upon us. They activate us. They can activate you in a good way? Of course not. But they give you a little stab, and then you jump upwards and you're ready. This is how it is. That is why it doesn't matter what force we speak of. We speak of the one force that's behind all forces. The Creator is not good or evil. There is only the goal to bring the evil inclination to a screen, a masach, completely, and to turn it in this way to the good inclination, meaning in order to bestow, which is called good. That is why there are many forces. It's not that these forces come from the Creator to us. And it's not that He has an army and He activates the evil army. It's our forces that are within us, that are opposite of the light. They awaken phenomenons, which are called evil forces, opposite forces. They awaken in us. They're not in existence outside of us. Outside of us, only the light exists. He gives us an intense bestow, growing more intense. And in accordance to how we relate to this light, which is good, in me awakens a force which is evil. And then I say, the Creator sends me an evil force. He didn't send anything. He didn't send anything except for this good force. But within me, an evil force awakens. That is why it is all in a person, and we don't connect it to the Creator. We only do it because we are in concealment. That is why the concealment was made, that we don't find the Creator guilty until we find a state where we can say that our Creator, all the negative things are in me, all the positive things are within Him, and this is how I advance towards Him. That all the negative forces that awaken, as opposed to the endless light that He sends, I need to turn to positive forces and unite them to one force.
Avi from Haifa is asking, what is a slander and what's the klipa and what's the difference between them in the spiritual process? The klipa, after all, protects the fruit and is against sanctity. So what's the difference between slandering and klipa in the spiritual process?
He needs to ask himself how he slanders and how he's kept by this klipa. This is exactly the state of the person right now. The klipa, yes, it holds the fruit. If there was no klipa, we couldn't live because we are fed, nourished by this klipa, this shell. Why does it guard the fruit? Because it's in order to bestow. We cannot use it yet. We cannot find it as sweet in our mouth. But from the klipa, I enjoy it, yes. So for now, I eat the klipot. And then, gradually, I understand that we need to move from the klipa to the fruit itself. But the fruit we can receive only in order to bestow. The klipa you can receive in order to receive, and you enjoy it. Meaning the klipa was created in a way that even in order to receive, you can receive some kind of illumination, small illumination. You can live with this and you can advance with this. The klipa was prior to the fruit, meaning it can bring you towards the fruit. Even though it is in order to receive, it has lights that come from this same upper source. That is why when I eat the klipa, with this klipa I devour also the light that reforms, and this is how I reach the fruit. Yes?
Yuval from Tivon is asking, the Zohar writes, bring me sons, beget me sons. Is it meaning for the next degrees?
Yes, that she can't give birth because she doesn't have Gal, the light of Chokhmah. This was always the case with mothers, meaning the Nukva in Katnut can exist, but that is why she cries that she can't give birth. With all the mothers, it is the case. And in general, to be pregnant, it's always some kind of miracle. Because there, how can I say it? In that, there is a very high, upper act. Because with every connection between the sperm and the nukva, there is always a correlation that has to take place, which is very special, which the two things which are opposite, they need to exist together. And not only they exist together, they build an environment which is friendly to both opposite forces. How the womb helps the embryo rise and grow. It's a miracle.
He adds in his question, what's the difference between begetting sons and begetting daughters, according to the writings?
We will speak of this. These questions are not on the subject. I want to scrutinize intentions, what gives us opportunity to advance and to enter the Zohar, and not to calm his different desires, to know what the Zohar speaks of. We are not learning the Zohar this way. So don't bring these kinds of questions. It's disgusting to treat the wisdom of Kabbalah in this way.
In the beginning of the lesson, we wrote a prayer. Is there a point in writing that prayer and then repeating it?
Try. Each thing has... You can try. You can write and erase until you sustain the sentence in the right way. And then a person knows how to demand it. Exactly. Of course, it's recommended.
When I read alone, it turns out that I'm reading alone our materials. Is it worthwhile to read it out loud, or is it enough to read it
however you want? You can do it loudly, silently. You can open your lips and not speak. However, it doesn't matter. It depends on the heart, how it opens and closes.
About the direction that we had in the beginning of the lesson from you, that the best thing is to be in the Zohar in an intention, that the thoughts, desires, and actions all are from the Creator, and to return to that as much as possible until that will be our reality.
Yes.
So what, if everything is the Creator, then what are you? What remains as man?
A person is left to acknowledge that the Creator is one force that fills the entire reality. What do you mean? This is our job. The Creator is concealed, we need to reveal Him. What does it mean to reveal Him to the world? A world is me. A person is called a small world. Then I need to reveal in my heart and brain that there is only a single force, upper force. And who am I? I'm the one who governs, who puts Him in control, as opposed to all my desires and thoughts that were opposite to Him in every way. This is my job. And then it turns that I govern, I rule. I brought the Creator to govern myself upon the desires which were opposite to Him at first.
When desires emerge, thoughts that you're suffering from,
I'm joyful.
Okay, so you're happy by being reminded of Him. Now what do you need to be happy of?
I'm happy that the Creator doesn't forget about me and He sends me different kinds of awakenings, that through them I can determine His uniqueness, His oneness. If it was not for different actions and thoughts against me, I couldn't determine the reality of the Creator, only something on its opposite side.
That's something that I managed to identify, meaning the will to receive suffers always, it always has sufferings.
No, why suffering? If I recognize all these negative things come, that determine the Creator above them, I'm not suffering.
So what's that place that doesn't suffer? It's clear to me that you're associating it with the Creator, but what's that place that you have?
There's no suffering anymore. It's not suffering. Why? I feel the same place where I suffered before, where I connected this to the Creator. I feel pleasure, connection, adhesion.
But it's not a feeling in the desire. I don't feel it in my desire.
It's above reason, above desire, yes. So what? The desire needs to continue being opposite.
Yeah, so that's what I'm asking about. Meaning, on one hand, your desire is always contradicted. It's going through what the Creator is putting it through. And on the other hand, it's like that place where you have to associate everything with the Creator. It's like you're supposed to be in two places simultaneously. The place where the Creator is giving blows and another place where you...
This means that I am above reason. That, in my opinion, it's all egoistically. Above that, I have tzimtzum or masach, or chozer masach, and I determine against my desire and my opinion. I never agree with the opinion of the Creator. This is the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is what people don't understand, how it works. We build our attitude above this hatred, this love above hatred. Hatred stays. I hate from my will to receive, and love, this is how I connect to the Creator above my nature, in an intention to bestow. This will come through the light that reforms. There's nothing to speak of it more. It won't help.
פורטה ופורטה מסתברת לחשבון גדול, ואז
dime after dime, it eventually becomes a great fortune. This is how it works. Only the light can do this. Let's continue.
We're continuing with the sling stone. 200. Rabbi Shimon started and said, "Listen, O upper ones, and gather, O lower ones, dwellers of the seminary of above and of below. Elijah, I adjure you, take permission from the Creator and come down here, for a great war has come to you. Chanoch Matat, come down here, you and all the dwellers of the seminary under you. For it is not for my own glory that I did this, but for the glory of divinity." Commentary. Those righteous ones, the authors of the Zohar, and especially Rabbi Shimon, their thoughts and words were in actual deeds. For according to the quality of the innovations in the Torah that they discovered, the upper degrees were promptly set up and arranged after them in actual fact. That is, the righteous build worlds and their innovations in the Torah. And since Rabbi Shimon prepared himself here to fight with the primordial serpent and subdue him through the unification of the sling stone and to open a door for the people of the world, so they too would know how to subdue the serpent. It's known that one cannot correct in a place where he is not present. Thus, Rabbi Shimon had to be at that time in the place where the serpent was, so he could be able to subdue him, to be certain that he would not be at risk in that lowly place. That's why he asked for assistance from Elijah, Matat, and from the dwellers of the seminary of above and below. 201. Rabbi Shimon started with the ta'am that is called zarka. He said that he must raise the prayer to the certain place, like the sling stone that is slung toward a specific target, and one is careful not to miss the target. Likewise, during the prayer, one should aim one's thought to Keter, which is an included and crowned stone. Keter is translated as inclusive. Also, Atara is Keter. By that, he implies the two ascents of Nukva of Zerampin, which is called a stone. One, an ascent to an equal level up to Keter of Zerampin. In that regard, he calls it an included stone. And two, an ascent to Insof, by which she takes the quality of a crown at the head of a righteous and becomes fit to receive the mochin of panim bepanim. In this regard, he refers to it as a crown stone. One should aim in those two intentions that are implied in the ta'am zarka. One should raise one's thought and aim in the prayer in keter, which is an included and crowned stone. It was said about her, the nukva, all who make upright by a name, meaning that the nukva must be raised to the place from which she was taken. In the beginning, the nukva was with Zeranpin on an equal level, and her level was through Keter de Zeranpin, and both were using the same Keter. As it is written, "And God made the two great lights." This is a state of two parzufim. Afterwards, the moon, Nukva, diminished herself because of her complaint. Two kings do not use the same crown. And then she returned to being a point under Yesod de Zeranpin and rose to Abba Ve'ima for an Ibur. Abba Ve'ima rebuilt her in Ibur Yenika Mochin of Panim, as it is written, "And he took one of his ribs, and the Lord God built the rib which he took from the man." The nukva should be raised to the place from which she was taken, because after the diminution of the moon, we must correct her through prayer. The first correction is to raise her once again to an equal level with Zeranpin, so they will both be using the same keter, as she was before Abba Ve'ima took her during the diminution of the moon, as it is written, and he took one of his ribs, which made her subsidiary to Zeranpin. Each day, in the intention of the prayer, one should extend Mochin and rebuild the Nukva of Zeranpin, who each day returns to being a virgin whom no man has known. The order of the construction is that she should be extended two kinds of Mochin, Ibur Yenika Mochin of Achol, and Ipur Yenika Mochin of Panim. First three kinds of Ibur Yenika Mochin in Achoraim of Zeranpin should be extended to her. One Ibur Mochin of Nehi, two Yenika Mochin of Chagat, three Mochin, meaning Mochin of Gar, on an equal level through Keter of Zeranpin. Afterwards, the three Prinot Ibur Yenika Mochin of Panim should be extended to her, which come to her through the construction of Abba Ve'ima. This is why it was said that the Nukva must be raised to the place from which she was taken, meaning to extend to her the Ibur Yenika Mochin of Achoraim of Zeranpin, when her level grew up to Keter, as she was before Abba Ve'ima took her from there. It was said about her, all who make upright by a name, meaning that Malchut does not have an upright level, equal with Zeranpin, unless in the Mochin of the Achoraim of Zeranpin before she was diminished. Afterwards, he extends to her Ibur Yenika Mochin of Panim through a prayer. 202. In that place, when he raises her to her husband, on an equal level to the keter of her husband, he will not stop even if a serpent were wrapped around his heel. Although it was said of him, and you will bruise his heel. Still, that stone implied in the letter Yod of Yaakov, for Yaakov has the letters Yod Akev, of which it was said, from there the stone of Israel's shepherds. He will not stop raising her to the place from which she was taken by his power. Although the serpent has a grip in the Nukva, as it is written, and you will bruise his heel, which the Creator said to the serpent, and as it is written, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your Messiah, Lord, it is also written, the iniquity of my heels, with the letters Akev, Yod. However, Jacob, the patriarch, corrected it, raising it to his head, as it is written, and he took of the stones of the place, meaning the Yud, who was at the end of the heel, and placed it under his head, from the head of Akev to Binah, which is the head of Tiferet, called Jacob. Since Jacob has the letters Yod Akev. By that, she was mitigated up to Prinat Nukva to Israel, which has the letters Li Rosh, a head for me. And it was said about her, from there the stone of Israel's shepherds. Through that ascent and became certain that he will not stop because of the grip of the serpent and will be able to raise her to the place from which she was taken, to the Keter of Zeranpin. Once he returned her to the level of Keter Zeranpin, the middle pillar, he must raise her from the middle pillar through Ein Sof. When he lowers her from Ein Sof, it is said of the Nukva, all who kneel, kneel in blessed. Baruch. Once he aims in his prayer to extend the Nukva Ibur Yenikin, Nukva Ibur Yenika Mochin Der Achoraim, and her level was equal to that of Keter Zeranpin, he must aim to raise her to Ibur once more and to extend to her Ibur Yenika Mochin Depanim to raise her up to Ein Sof. Then she is built by Abba Ve'ima, and as it is written, and the Lord God built the rib and brought her to the man Zeranpin. When he lowers her from Insof, and she returns to Zeranpin, as it is written, and brought her to the man, it is said of the Nukva, all who kneel, kneel in Baruch. Meaning that her level was diminished by a new construction from Insof. It is so because kneeling indicates bowing of the head and smallness of the level. For now the Nukva became annulled before Zeranpin and has nothing of her own except that what her husband gives her. But in the beginning, when she was in Mochin of Achoraim, although she did not need Zeranpin and was as big as him, she still could not be in that state due to a lack of blessing. The light of Chasadim, for this is the meaning of her complaint. But now after the new construction from Ein Sof, and the Lord God built the rib, although her level was diminished in kneeling, she was blessed with the level of Chasadim, in which the light of Chochmah clothed as well. This is the intimation, all who kneel, that the whole matter of the kneeling of the Nukva is because he kneels in Baruch, where by the kneeling, she obtained the blessing from the upper blessing. By that, she received the Mohin de Panim Bepanim, and became fit for a Zivug with Zeranpin, Panim Bepanim. This is why it was said that she should be raised through Ein Sof and through endlessness, and will not part her from Zeranpin neither above nor below. By extending Ibur Yenika Mochin Vachor, the Nukva unites with Zeranpin below. And by extending Ibur Yenika Mochin de Panim, she unites with him above. 203.
Questions?
Ken.
Yes.
In truth, when we're reading the Zohar now, before my eyes, there's always that diagram of the Pticha that we're learning every morning lesson lately.
You can do it that way or differently. I don't know. Sometimes I thought to myself, it feels like I'm being injected with a tube and you receive a medicine, a potion. So what do I need to do? I need to just listen to the reader and this medicine drips to my vein. And I expect this salvation with no drawings or graphs. You're very smart. I'm not smart.
That wasn't what I meant, because it was actually like that this far. It was always like dripping and doesn't understand whether I understand or not. Now when we're learning Pticha in the morning lesson, we're repeating that diagram.
This is a different kind of study.
It's just coming back to me that we're actually talking about this diagram.
Of course, you still don't know how many discernments you will receive from this. More than tas. This is a different language completely. It's emotional, scientific, from all different sides. They're speaking of the structure and the bestow upon a person, the effects upon a person. The Zohar includes all the different motions from above and from below.
Exactly, that's what I wanted to ask also. I noticed that there are many discernments that we don't even talk about in the Pticha. And here he's opening the Tamim, that there's a flavor called Kela, slingshot, and he explains it.
Sir, open the book of Zohar and read whatever is in the opening. The book of Zohar about the five different parts of the Torah. This is an explanation of the Torah. Explanation of the Kabbalah. As accordance to what is it is written. It's written, Kabbalah. The wisdom of Kabbalah is written in the style of speaking language of the Torah. The Zohar takes the Torah and rewrites it with accordance to whatever happens inside, in the desires the different discernments, masachim, also not exactly, but it's in the middle between Torah and the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's not the language of Kabbalah, it's usually the language of the Midrash. There's a few parts in the Zohar where this is precisely the language of Kabbalah, all the rest is the language of Midrash.
Will the time come when we combine all those things simultaneously?
All these languages are, in general, within a person. This is how it is. Tell me, a violin player, he takes a piece of wood with a few hairs from a horse, and he starts moving back and forth, and you both weep. How does he send this emotional thing towards you? Through a stick and some hair. What can you say about that? Explain this about a simple thing that everyone can see. I want to know. How does it work?
He has notes.
I don't care, he has notes. How does he pass this emotional value through hairs of a horse and some wood? You can't explain it, but Zohar makes an effort to explain this, to interpret it. Yes?
Can I ask a question about what we read before?
Yes.
It is written that Abraham and Isaac are Yud Kei Vav Kei. We're also saying that creation is Havaya. What is Yaakov, Jacob, before he becomes Israel? Is it part of creation or not?
Yaakov is Katnut Dezeranpin and also Gadlut Dezeranpin. It depends on how we speak of Jacob. Yaakov is Israel. It's the vessels of Galgaltas and I am Zeranpin, and Israel is all his degree.
Is it considered part of creation?
I don't know. What do you mean, creation? If you can say, maybe I can tell if it's...
It's written that the Creator created.
Is it a part of the will to receive? No.
Yes?
Of course not. Torah doesn't speak of the will to receive. Torah speaks about the system that works upon or towards the will to receive. We have the upper light and the will to receive. This means I created the evil inclination. The Creator created a small, tiny will to receive, will to for pleasure. That's it. There's a system how this upper light works towards this will to receive. All of this system is called Torah. What is the Torah? It's a program of the upper light and how it works through this programming system, how it works and governs this small will to receive and develops it more and more until it's great, until it's opposite of the will of the Creator to bestow, and until it understands that it is opposite of this desire, meaning this discernment awakens within this will to receive that he is opposite of the upper one until he wishes to correct himself against his nature in accordance with the upper one, and then he will use the Torah on his behalf in this programming system. And whatever the Creator bestows upon him through this system called Torah, through different lights and actions, he will take all this system and use it himself with his will to receive to resemble the Creator. Meaning whatever the relation from the Creator to the creature, he will twist it and turn it towards the creature, towards the Creator.
It was written that he also created the Torah. Is that considered part of his creation? This Torah is also creation?
Torah is how the relation from the Creator to the creature, the Creator himself is not connected to it. It's only in the relations towards the creature, meaning the Torah was created in intention before the Adam, before the desire, meaning it's a programming system. Just understand it like this.
And the middle line, what is that actually?
The middle line exists towards a person in attainment, which he moves towards connecting the relation of the Creator with his own nature, will to receive and will to bestow. He wants to unite them and wants to use them as one, because only in this way he can resemble the Creator. So to resemble the Creator, he can do it only through combining the two with the middle line.
And then he's called Israel?
Then he is called Israel only if he uses both, also Galgal Teinayim and Achap with all his desire. If he uses only a part of his desire, he's called Yaakov, small Yaakov, Galgal Teinayim.
Thank you.
Galgal Teinayim is Yaakov, and both Galgal Teinayim and Achap are called Israel.
On that topic of the middle line from Shaulai, they're asking, what's the middle line in the Ten and in me, and are they connected?
The middle line we need to attain. We don't have it yet. We need to attain it after the light that reforms works upon us, and we will use it correctly. Then we would be able to connect the will to receive and the will to bestow to a middle line.
He's asking, is this something that we will identify in the Ten, or just in me, or
within myself? I can only recognize a beast. Let it be clear to everyone. Within myself, I don't want to speak of. I am like an animal. If we're speaking about discernments in spirituality, this is in order to bestow, which immediately we jump from our beastly nature to a group. And then all the discernments are only in the middle of the group, the center of the group.
We got this week from Amnon and now from Itai, from Australasia. They're asking, if during the Zohar I get special feelings, really good and happiness and joy, what should I do from that? Where does that stem from incorporation? What should I do with it?
There's different ways to feel from the Zohar. It's not in how we feel from it. The main thing is what we want to take out of it. I need to keep the thought, what I wish to happen from whatever happens within me. This is the intention. What I want from my state. To feel good, it's good, but it depends how. They say that happiness is a result of good deeds. Did he do good deeds? Are you happy? Okay. Then you know what to do with this happiness onwards. If you're just asking, what should I do with this happiness, I don't know where does it come from.
It's like they're feeling like an excitement, inspiration from the lesson.
This is also good, but the question is, what do I do with this excitement? So in a few minutes we will finish the lesson. If they have an opportunity with this excitement, I would recommend reading Shamati, the articles of Shamati. This excitement we need to fulfill, to take advantage of, even. And for now, we are going to eat, or not. Everyone is welcome, all the friends around the world.
din matovanaim shevet achim gam yachad dine matov shevet achim gam yachad dine matov shevet achim gam yachad dine matovanaim shevet achim gam yachad הנה מה טוב ומה נעים שבת אחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב שבת אחים גם יחד